Well, let's pray as we begin. Lord, we thank you for your word, for the living word that you give us. Thank you for being the God of resurrection and the God of life to us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. This week we're reading about lepers. We're reading about those who have skin afflictions of different kinds. And when you think about lepers today, when that image comes to your mind, we're probably thinking about the modern disease that we call leprosy. It actually is an old disease. It's not just a modern disease. But what we think of in modern terms, where there can be even the breaking of fingers and limbs, the loss of neurological wholeness, the loss of the sense of pain, the blindness, the hemorrhaging even from the nose, when we think of that kind of leprosy, it's not the same as what we're reading about in Torah. So even though it's so interesting to think about that modern form of leprosy, it's really a different disease and should be understood differently. If you're reading David Stern's Jewish New Testament or Complete Jewish Bible, you'll notice that he doesn't use the term leper and he doesn't use the term leprosy to translate it, and he points back to the Hebrew rather than translating into English, just so that we don't get confused. But, you know, it's really helpful to think about modern lepers, the modern leprosy sometimes, to think about that condition that people are in, and to remember that there are people who are living in a condition of being half alive, if you will. And it's almost as if they've got one foot in death and one foot in life. And it is true that as we're reading about those who suffered from the afflictions that are described in Torah, they are similar. They also are caught in something. They're caught between life and death. And so it's fitting, even if we have the wrong mental image of leprosy based on what we see today versus those skin afflictions that were mentioned in Torah, we can see a commonality that there are people who live in this condition of not being fully alive. In fact, you and I can be in that condition. We don't even have to have leprosy. We can be in the condition of living with sorrow and living in brokenness and living with only half the strength and a portion of the power that God wants to give us. In our Haftorah reading, we read about more lepers. But in the Brit HaChadashah reading that we have for today, it's in Romans chapter 6. I want to ask you to turn there. We're not reading about lepers, we're reading about all of us. And we're introduced to a very important idea that Yeshua raises us up from the dead. And that just like he was raised physically, we will also be raised in the same manner in the future. But in the meantime, there's another aspect to resurrection life that we can experience and that we have provided for us. So let's look at Romans 6, starting in verse 1. Which is really built on prior ideas that people can get confused about grace. What is the grace of God? Is the grace of God merely for forgiveness? Is that all that God has in mind by pouring out his grace? And when we say that he's a gracious God, does it simply mean that when we sin, he will forgive us? And Paul is saying, there's more to it than that. And so verse 1, he says, are we to say, well, let's keep on sinning so that there can be more grace? You see, if grace is released when we sin, then let's do it more. And Paul says, no, that's not it. Heaven forbid. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Died to sin. Now, this is an important idea. In Torah, when it's talking about the lepers, it set aside the symptoms of the disease, but there was an understanding that this form of disease that was discussed there was connected with an affliction that comes upon people when they are deliberately sinning before God. And so death comes to those who are living intentionally in sin. Spiritual death comes. And Paul uses this term, we've died to sin. Now what that means is we don't have the appetite for sin anymore that we used to. We don't have the desire for it that we used to. We have passed through death into life. Verse 3, don't you know that those of us who have been immersed into Messiah Yeshua have been immersed into his death? And here it's talking about the immersion in water. Through immersion into his death, we were buried with him, so that just as through the glory of the Father, the Messiah was raised from the dead, likewise, we too might live a new life. Okay, so imagine you go to a funeral and you're getting ready to bury the person, and you hear a knocking inside the casket, and everybody stops because they realize the knocking is coming from the casket. And someone has the audacity to go closer and listen, and yeah, inside the casket. And so they open up the casket, and the person inside says, let me out of here. You know that would be an unusual funeral. You'd never forget that funeral, right? Because the person who you thought was dead, who was about to be buried, is saying, I'm not dead, don't put me in the ground. Now, here's the strange thing. Every one of us is called to go to our own funeral in the spirit. We're called to go to our funeral, to be immersed in water, and to identify with the death and the burial of Yeshua. Now, we're not buried in the ground. You're not put in a casket. There's not some plot of earth that's dug up and then you're going to be put in it and you got to work your way out of it. It's not like that. It's water that we use. And we're buried without any casket at all, but we're buried in the water and then we come up. And when we come up, it's like Yeshua's resurrection. It's like new life. It's almost like when we went under the water, we knocked and said, I'm ready to live. I don't want to die. But I want to go to the other side. Not the same as when I went down. Not the same as when I started. You see, this is part of the promise of Messiah, that you can get to the other side without having to physically die. You don't have to wait until you're dead, resurrected, and go to heaven to begin to live with God. Now, there are a lot of people who think that salvation only touches heaven. And thus, the only way to be experienced in salvation is to physically die and to be raised from the dead. However, the scriptures are clear about it, that the salvation that God has for us is meant to touch us in this life too. But nevertheless, you have to die to get to it. How do you die? Well, some people say you die to self. I don't think that's correct. I think you die to sin. That's what Paul's talking about. You die to sin, meaning the power of sin no longer will have a hold on you. And the way that it loses its hold is by coming to Yeshua. Now, you can wait until you're dead and test all that to see how it works. But the promise of Messiah is you don't have to wait for eternal life. You don't have to wait for abundant life. You don't have to wait for resurrection life. You can begin to experience it right now. Any bankers in the room? Just one. Anybody here who would be happy to find out that there was a big bank account in your name that you didn't know about before? I remember once Sandy and I were getting ready to go to Israel. I got a letter from the IRS, and it was the day before, the morning we were going, and I didn't want to open. Yeah, because you don't want to open up an unexpected letter from the IRS. That's just the way it is. But somehow I decided I better open it because we're going to be away for a while. So I open it up, and it's a check for thousands of dollars that I'd overpaid and hadn't realized. Just before we're going to Israel, I was so happy. I was so happy that I opened up the letter. When there's something waiting for you, and you know it's good, and you don't open it up, it's to your loss. Sandy and I made an international move once, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but we started unpacking, and I found a trash can that had been packed. It had been packed in a box, and inside was trash. And so somehow we paid for a box of trash to be moved to another country. I felt so stupid. Have any of you ever done that? Okay, well, then I'm embarrassed. Okay, so we make another move, and I'm going through some stuff that's been moved, and I'm thinking, you know, I should have thrown this away and I should have thrown that way. And I came across this old three-ring notebook. I wasn't using three-ring notebooks at this point in my life. I was using computers to keep track of things. And I'm thumbing through the first pages and I think, junk, junk. You know, why did I even move this? It's like that trash can I moved once. And so I make a decision. I'm going to throw away the notebook. And something inside of me says, keep turning the pages. And so I turn the pages, and I get almost to the end, and there's this little folder in my tiny little three-ring notebook, and I have this feeling, open up the folder in the notebook. Don't throw it away. And I open it up, and there are six crisp $100 bills. I don't even know when I put them in there. I had no recollection of it. And I thought, I could have been the person who paid to move a trash can and the person who threw away a notebook with $600 in it. But I didn't throw it away. Now, believe me, how many of you would throw away $600 just for fun? Nobody, right? You wouldn't do it. And if it was in a notebook and you didn't know and you threw it away, guess what? You wouldn't know you threw it away, right? Sometimes the only way you discover what you were about to miss is by pushing in and looking into it. The other day, Jared looked at some bills and found that we'd been billed by Comcast, was it? I hope some Comcast people are listening to the podcast. We were billed for a little piece of equipment that we don't actually have, never have had. So Jared called them up and they agreed that they would issue a refund, right? $160. Yeah. So they're giving us back $160 that they shouldn't have kept. They shouldn't have billed us for it. But you know what? There are times when you don't know that there's $160 waiting for you until you dig into it, until you press into it. until you look into it. Now, I'm not talking about money tonight. That's not really what I'm focusing on. I use those as illustrations because they're concrete and something we can identify with. But do you know that God has benefits for us? He has things stored up for us that are greater than money. And there are times when you really know how much money you need that you don't have. Has anybody ever tried to pay your bills and you ran out of bills before you used your money up before you finished paying your bills? Has anybody had that experience? Anybody? Yeah. So you know what it's like. How does that feel? Not good. Awful. And have you ever had the experience where you pay all your bills and then you've got more money left over? How does that feel? It feels better, right? And all things being equal, which feels better, having the money after you pay the bills or not having enough money to pay the bills? Having extra money, right? It just feels better. It's a better condition. Well, in the same way, in the spirit, if you know how much you have and you know it's more than enough that's available for you, life feels better. And yet when you always live as if there's not enough, there's not enough from God, there's not enough blessing, there's not enough power, there's not enough answer for you, then you're living in a kind of spiritual poverty that you're not meant to live in. Because God is able to do exceedingly more than you ask or imagine. But you do have to ask. You do have to imagine. One of the keys, I believe, one of the keys to experience the greater side of life with God is to experience death and resurrection in your own life, to experience the power of his resurrection in your life. I was reluctant to be immersed in water myself because, as a Jew, I thought this is something that's irreversible. If I do this, you know, it will bring great pain and cost me a great deal with my family, with my community. I didn't see the benefit of it. I saw the cost of it. And over time, I began to realize there is a benefit that's even greater than the cost. And the benefit is resurrection life. The benefit is, instead of trying to cope, we bury the dead. Every one of us can be like a zombie, sort of half dead, half alive. You know, zombie movies are really popular. Zombie books are really popular. I'm not 100% sure why. In fact, there are times when I just don't even like to see zombies on television. But every one of us can be like a zombie. We're sort of half alive, not fully alive. We're living with death ruling over us instead of us moving into the resurrection life. That's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about resurrection life. Through immersion, verse 4, Romans 6, verse 4, into Yeshua's death, we were buried with him. So that just as through the glory of the Father, the Messiah was raised from the dead, likewise, we too might live a new life. You bury yourself, you bury the life that you had, and then you live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will also be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was put to death on the cross, on the execution stake with him, so that the entire body of our sinful propensities might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For someone who has died has been cleared from sin, is free from sin. And since we've died with the Messiah, we trust that we will also live with him. We know that the Messiah has been raised from the dead, never to die again. Death has no authority over him. For his death was a unique event that need not be repeated. But his life, he keeps on living for God. In the same way, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive for God by your union with the Messiah, Yeshua. Consider yourselves, count yourselves, reckon yourself, do the bookkeeping, do the analysis, pay attention to the reality. Make sure you understand this. When Rabbi Yuri shared tonight during Seudat HaMashiach about how few miracles were done in Nazareth because of the lack of faith on the people, I was so encouraged by him sharing that, because earlier today I was looking through the scriptures for exactly that passage, and I was going to share it tonight. And I'd actually pulled it up. It's from Matthew. There are several places, but Matthew 13:58, it says, Yeshua did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Same Yeshua working differently in one place versus another. Why? Because of how the people reckoned things with God. I was encouraged when he shared that, because I understood this: the same Holy Spirit spoke to him and spoke to me and wanted us to understand, wanted both of us to understand that this was an important point for us for tonight. You see, in the same way that there were few miracles when the people who saw Yeshua had no faith, no expectation, no looking to him for miracles, In the same way, it can happen in your life and in my life, and that's why we have to consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Messiah. We have to consider. We have this part to do. We don't have to do his part. We have to do our part. Our part is to do the considering, to do the reckoning, to do the bookkeeping, the analysis, to do the thinking through and the conclusion reaching, which we must do. We can't be vague on this. We can't be indecisive. We have to understand. Count yourselves. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive for God by your union with the Messiah, Yeshua. You know what this means? When you're thinking, can you live for God? The answer is yes. Can God show his power through you? The answer is yes. Can God show his victory through you? The answer is yes. Can God show miracles through you? The answer is yes. Can God use you to bless other people? The answer is yes. Can God use you to help other people in hopeless situations? The answer is yes. Can God use you to bring comfort to other people who are in sorrow? The answer is yes. Can God give you victory over the things that have controlled you in the past? The answer is yes. Can you get free from your addictions? The answer is yes. Can you get free from the things that are compulsive to you? The answer is yes. Can you do it on your own? The answer is no. With him, by him, through him, in him. Dead to sin, alive to God, in him. That's the key. Yesterday, I opened up the refrigerator. There was a jar of salted caramel. That stuff is tasty. Okay, what's your favorite jar of sweet. That'll do. Nutella, little chocolate, hot fudge, things like that, right? Ring to the truth. Okay, everybody's got, you know, their favorite. What I don't understand, knowing me, I said this to Sandy yesterday. I said, I don't understand why I can open the refrigerator, I can look at that jar, and I don't feel any compulsion to eat the salted caramel. Why is that? Now, I tell you, if it was ice cream in the freezer, I'd hear voices. My dad's cousin once said, he expressed the feeling I have. He said, if someone held a gun to my head and said, choose between ice cream and hamburgers, I'd say, just shoot me now. I couldn't decide. I understand that feeling. Who can I? Can you identify with that? It's like, ah. Oh. What I can't understand is why I don't feel a compulsion about one thing, but I feel a compulsion about another thing. Why am I drawn to one thing but not to another thing? Why does one thing seem to have a power over me and another thing doesn't? And that's what I said to Sandy. I don't understand why I'm not drawn to that because I really like it. But why do I not feel compulsive about it? And why do I feel total freedom? I can look at it. I can look at it for 8 more months and not eat it. And there are other things that I don't feel that way. Now, I'm rejoicing that I don't feel compulsive about sea salt caramel. But I'm not rejoicing that I feel compulsion about something else. And so, what do I need to do? Do I need to just give in to the things that I feel compulsive about? No, I need to reckon myself. I need to consider myself free in God. Not free to sin, free to have victory. Free to do what's good, free to follow God, free from sin. Verse 12, therefore, don't let sin rule in your bodies so that it makes you obey its desires, and don't offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument for wickedness. On the contrary, offer yourselves to God as people alive from the dead. You don't have to wait for heavenly power to come to you. You don't have to wait until you die physically and are buried physically. Now is time to get that freedom. Offer yourselves to God as people alive from the dead and your various parts to God as instruments for righteousness, for sin will not have authority over you. You're not under legalism, you're under God's grace. It continues. It continues. I believe that it's important for you and for me to pay attention tonight to what Yeshua has done for us, for the new life that he has made possible for us now, and for the freedom he's made possible for us now. Rabbi Uri and I want to pray for you tonight. Rabbi Uri, can I invite you up? There may be something further you want to say about this freedom, or please.
Hallelujah. Today, when we, before the service, we prayed for service today, and I have something in my heart, and I believe it's from the Lord. Sometimes we came to the point when we have something in our life for so long time, and it's already scarred, you know, it's already something. Pain, bring us pain so long that we came to the service and we heard something, you know, this thought came, oh, it's not about this, it's not about me, it's about somebody else, but not this. I want to share a very short story, and this story, I believe, will help you to receive, because it's helped me to receive some years ago. I shared it in the prayer meeting last time. In our congregation, synagogue in Nikolai, we had one man. He just came into us. He was not a member, but he came into other services for some time, and he was homeless, and he liked to be homeless, you know, these kind of people. He was the kind of person who liked to be homeless. He never can stay in one place for long. And once he disappeared from the congregation, nobody knows where he going, you know, nobody. And for a long time, he is not showing on the service for a couple months. And we had, after sometimes, we have a small seminar in our home of our sister from the synagogue. And this seminar was about love. Name of this seminar, Love. So, and he show up in this seminar. And he was like dirty, you know, and if it's not will be about love, I will not allow him to come, you know, but love. What to do? So he came, and when begin to speak, he take the chair, put this chair, you know, like turn it back to us. Big chair, I don't know how it's called.
Love seat?
Yes, thank you. And he like go to sleep in this chair. I was, you know, I tried to receive more love from the Lord in this moment. I prayed for love for myself. So we just decided to let him sleep. So he slept, and in the end of seminar, my wife came to me and tell me she have feeling to pray for the people who is sick because the Lord wants to heal them. And I, in that point, I don't feel anything. I say, okay, you feel, you pray. So, and we pray for the people, and he began to, you know, he continues to sleep and, you know, not react about the prayers. So everything was ended. We talked to him. So what you came and why you came and what's happened. He just tell us or something and disappear. So after a couple of weeks, and I thought, Lord, you know, tell this man something. Help him to get over, because he is not, you know, this and that. We know what to say about people who we don't like it, you know. We know what to say about them. And he showed up after a couple of weeks, I believe, in our service, and he was so joyful, came to me with some paper, and I look at him and say, oh, no more, one more time. What he wants? I want to testify today. And I told him, testify? You want to give testimony? What do you want to say? Can you tell me, please, before? And he showed me some paper. What's happened with him? 3 months or a couple months, he don't show up because he get very heavily, very very heavily, very strong tuberculosis in his lungs. Tuberculosis in Ukraine is very often sickness because we are country of third world. And he get tuberculosis, open tuberculosis. You know, he begins to cough by the blood. Blood came from him. And he was in a hospital in near city from us in Odessa for a couple months. But he could not stay there for long because he used to move around. So he just left from the city, came to Nikolaev, and he came to our seminar about love. If I would know about it, this sickness, for sure I would not allow him to come to this room. And what's happened? When we prayed for him, he sleep and he wake up and he feel himself better. So he goes to hospital and he came, and because of his sickness, he was allowed to come to hospital. Tuberculosis need to have treatment, even if you don't have money. So they checked him, and he was good. They checked him second time. He is absolutely healed. And he bring a paper with the stamps from the doctors that he is healed. And I take lesson for all my life. My point of view, it's not the Lord's point of view. My expectation is not his expectation. And sometimes when we think, oh, no, it's not about him, this is not what Lord thinks about it. And second lesson, if it's for him, for sure it's for you also, for me. Lord can do everything. And sometimes he's doing so amazing miracles for the people who are very simply just came to him. And sometimes because sometimes we are complicated in this, how to came to him, what procedure we need to have to came to the Lord to receive healing. We need to pray this, we need to step this, we need to think this, we need to proclaim this, we need to say this. And until we've done it, it will not happen with us. Because of these complications, sometimes we did not receive something from him. And when we read scriptures, how many people, even not from the Jewish nation, not from our people, they just came to him with a simple faith. They was not worried. They was unclean. They was even my abides, you know, my abides. It's enemies for the Israel. And Lord says, don't accept Moabites because they are your enemies. You remember about women from Moabite. Miracle happened in her life. Romans, everyone, they just came to him and received. So I want to say, if you have some scarf in your soul, in your spirit, and you are fighting with the sin for so long time, and this thought came to you, it's not about me, once again, I will pray. Don't think this way. He can do everything for everyone, for sure for you. And if he loves you because before you came to him, how much more he loves you now, because you are following him and you obeyed him. So just with a simple faith, receive from him, and he can do everything.
So we're gonna pray for anybody who wants healing in such areas of their lives, freedom in such areas. We're going to close the service and then have a time for prayer. So why don't you stand? We'll close with the Aaronic benediction, and then those that want prayer can come down. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.